Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. We've got Dr. Lloyd I. Setterer, the medical director of the nation's largest state mental health system and the author of The Family Guide to Mental Health Care. I am Eric from CBS Sky Radio, and here's CJ.
We have Dr. Setterer here, and we also have Fred from Seattle. And during the segment, we're going to talk about how you bring up potentially a concern that you have that a loved one or a family member or a friend may have a mental illness and how you might engage them in a dialogue. And so we have Fred from Seattle who has a daughter-in-law that has been diagnosed with schizophrenia. And really the family is concerned with the daughter-in-law's ability to take care of their grandson. They have tried several times to talk to their daughter-in-law but have been repeatedly shut down. And so, Dr. Setterer, I was hoping that you could offer some ideas on a helpful dialogue and maybe work with Fred on some ideas.
Indeed. This is unfortunately a common problem, particularly with serious illnesses like schizophrenia, which is a illness that often comes on in early, late adolescence, early adulthood, where people have troubles in their thinking. And they may also hallucinate or be paranoid or fearful. And one of the common problems with the condition is that people may not be able to recognize that they're ill. And instead, when you try to speak to them, they get mad, or they say, leave me alone, or they say, you know, you're the problem. If you'd only get off my back, I wouldn't have a problem. But indeed, they do have a problem. And that's where families need to be helped. And I give some examples in the book of scripts about how to do this. But for example, like I said earlier, it's very important to jot down what is observable. You know, how behavior has changed, whether it's being in bed, not making it to work, not eating, a number of things that are very visible that you can begin the conversation with.
Okay, Nash, we have Fred on the line.
I am here. Hi, CJ, and hi, Dr.
Hi, Fred.
Peter.
Hi.
It sounds like a terrific program, and I have looked at your book, not totally yet, but I've looked at a good part of it, and it's very good, very helpful. And in response to what you just said, this particular situation is one where she was diagnosed schizoaffective at least 10 years ago, received some treatment, and then in the following years would have occasional episodes where she resisted any form of treatment. And we're in a period of time right now where she's having some very serious episodes on occasion and totally unwilling to look at it or deal with it in any way. So I kind of reflect back on what you said a little while ago about asking the individual what they want. And as you just said a minute ago, what she wants is us to get off her back. We're trying to deal with her as gently as possible and not be too argumentative or too pushy. But given the fact that she does have a 3-year-old granddaughter and we're very concerned about the little girl's welfare in the midst of all of this, it's a bit of a perplexing situation.
It's a very troublesome situation, particularly if you're worried about the welfare of a young child.
Sure, absolutely. So you've just mentioned it. I think a helpful thing to jot down various issues as we see them come up. But again, you know, over these many years, lots of jotting down and discussion has taken place. And we're having a lot of trouble encouraging her to get the help that she needs.
Yes.
I have some
other thoughts about that. Maybe they're ones that you've already tried to use. But I like to ask families like yours at that point, because your reasoning, your efforts are trying, the situation is getting serious, and I like to then ask families, well, what support are you providing to your loved one? Is that support financial, or is it a use of a car? Is it a place to stay? Whatever it is, I think that in a family, family being a part of a family is a two-way street, and that we give as family members, and we also get as family members, and that it has to be mutual. And so if you're giving, if you're supporting, it's not unreasonable to say, you know, there's not this, you know, it's not that we don't want to give to you, but we want to give to you in a way that it leads to your being able to be an effective mother, to have your life, and we don't see that happening, and we can't support you. You know, this is really hard because it's drawing, setting a limit, and sometimes it just things escalate that people get afraid of. But when the situation gets serious, sometimes that's the leverage that families need to say, look, you know, we love you. This is serious. We just can't stand by. Loving family members don't stand by when they see something that really worries them. And we're going to support all that's good about what you're doing, but we can't support you if you're heading down that big, deep hole that you've been in before. We're not going to support you until you start doing something about it.
And of course, from a legal perspective, it really takes some very severe negative action on her part for us to have any legal leverage to either have her committed or even to take custody of the child.
That's absolutely right. I had a editorial op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on January 12th of this year called The Tragedy of Mental Health Law, where I talked about how hard it is, how high the thresholds have become for people to take action where somebody's liberties are infringed, like putting them in a hospital when you know they need to be in a hospital, or someone's privacy is limited where people, where families talk to caregivers. This is a pendulum in some ways has swung awfully different from the way it was 40 or 50 years ago. And you're a good example of sometimes you have to wait until somebody does something that's really dangerous to themselves or someone else before legal action could be taken. So that's why the leverage is a step before. It's not pleasant, it's not fun, it's not fair, but sometimes you've got to draw those limits before you actually wind up in a situation where you have the law on your side.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you for those thoughts. It's helpful, and we'll keep working at it.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
So the question, follow-up question, Matt, I mean, this is presumes that you actually have financial leverage over them, but are you just saying withdraw all support, emotional support too, or just use the emotional, I mean, the financial piece?
Sometimes, you know, the love and the emotions are leverage enough, but sometimes they're not. When the illness is serious, but you're right. Sometimes someone is an adult. They're on independent. They don't live in your house. They're not dependent on you for money or transportation or whatnot. Then your leverage is less, and that can be really heartbreaking to see somebody getting sick, and you try, but you don't have leverage, and you're just waiting for that shoe to drop when something bad happens. That's a really heartbreaking situation for families.
I mean, I think in Fred's situation, the worst is that there's a three-year-old that, I mean, are they just waiting until something happens to the three-year-old that's bad so that they can actually have legal action? I mean, that's the problem. Do they, any other ideas for these concerned grandparents?
Yeah, well, you know, in a way that's leverage, which is, you know, here's what we see about how you're caring for your child, or here's what seems to worry us about that, and we don't want to call in authorities. That's bad for everybody. That's bad for you. That's bad for the child. So let's talk about how we cannot do that. Let's talk about how you can get some care so that you'll be the kind of mom that will feel safe about that. Will feel like, well, there's no need to get anybody else involved.
Yeah. It's a very tough situation
tough situations, yes.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I did enjoy, and I think that it's really helpful, and in your book, The Family Guide to Mental Health Care, there's a whole section on a potential dialogue that you can have, but I think you brought up a lot of really good points already. Create really detailed notes, factual notes, that say, you know, here's what's happening, here's what we've been observing, we love you, we want to help you. those kind of things are part of the dialogue that I saw. So get the book, folks. It has a lot. It is just chock full of really, really helpful information. On the next segment, we are going to be taking in callers if anyone has any questions. We will also tell us, Eric, we'll when you come back, we'll tell you the phone number to call if you have any questions. We'll be right back.